kids, eh? What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Stunt Granny Audio. This is number 150. A totally unspectacular, unimportant audio, I guess. So there's really no anniversary audio. So I'm Jeremy. Kevin's with me this week.
Hi, kids.
Yeah. And we're here to talk all things WWE this week. I think for obvious reasons. We'll leave the TNA talk maybe for Dusty and Eric if they decide they want to talk about that. Last Sunday was Money in the Bank. You had Monday Night Raw. Lots of talking points. We're not going to drag this out longer than an hour, hopefully. So stick with us. So there's your big sell for the beginning of the audio.
Yeah, I mean, you just couldn't have warmed it up any better.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so let's start with Money in the Bank since it's the oldest news right now. Everyone by now, by the time you listen to this, you've read the results, you've read the news, you read fallout and all that stuff. So we're just going to talk about, I think what I mentioned before we started, just whatever surprised us or stood out. Right. And I don't know. We'll start with the first match. That was the SmackDown match, and I thought that this set the tone for the rest of the night. First with Daniel Bryan winning. Second, Sin Cara getting punked out almost immediately.
They definitely had me fooled on that one. I think that his twitching, like Tommy Dreamer, when he twitched, like he's the only other twitcher that I can think of. Yeah. Like you knew that it was fake. Like with Sin Cara, I'm like, is that dude really fucked up?
I don't know. There was a point when Sheamus backed off and was looking like, uh-oh, what's going on? It kind of convinced me that, like, all right, maybe this wasn't supposed to happen. But then, luckily, Elise walks in the room and goes, what the fuck is he twitching for? And I'm like, okay. It kind of snapped me back to reality, like, oh, yeah, all right.
Maybe that should have been a sign, I suppose.
Yeah, the full body convulsions, if you break your back or something that serious, you're not moving at all. So.
Yeah. I guess you always kind of think of that, you know, like you automatically, for whatever reason, think heart attack or stroke or something like that. You see someone twitching around and you just think of something horrendous. You know, you just think something bad has happened for whatever reason. Like, I honestly don't have a real reason.
Yeah. But it always seems like the standard, I don't know how else to sell this, so I'm going to twitch a lot. I've always despised the twitching. I don't know why. So when I saw him doing it, you know, like I said, for a second, and then you wake up and go, what the fuck is going on? Yeah, but then and the other thing that kind of sold it as not being for real is they kept showing it.
Oh, well, there was that. And the other thing that made me think about it was I had mentioned how, like, if it would have went wrong, to me it would have went wrong if Sheamus just would have powerbombed him, like, off the ring apron onto the ladder. Instead, mm-hmm. he jumped down with him. And didn't swing him down until they got to the ladder.
Yeah.
Like the impact wise, it was minimized.
What was, I think, and It just, and of course comes out the next day. Sin Cara is gone for 30 days. Apparently, I think it was Gerwick.net said it was steroids, and he actually tested back in June for this, which explains why he lost on SmackDown finally. And then because he was in line, he had that big push with Chavo Guerrero, you know, because Chavo was the better wrestler, so they pushed Sin Cara instead. there were no dead uncles left to exploit. Hey, this is everything Chavo said in recent interviews. So,
I mean, it makes it 10 times funnier now. Like, yes. I mean, everyone used to make the jokes, and now he's kind of saying the opposite thing of the jokes. It's just like, I am so confused right now.
Yeah, I shouldn't have brought up Chavo, but. When he said right after Eddie died, he went to WWE about – I wish I had it right in front of me. I wasn't prepared to talk about it. So,
yes.
But basically saying he went to WWE and said, hey, let push me instead. Since my uncle died, you've got a storyline here. Push me. I mean, you don't want to do anything on your own? I mean, you know what I mean? He's using his uncle's name and now –
Yeah.
Dead name to get a push? Fuck you. That's why you didn't get pushed.
Yeah, well, there's that, and he is average at best.
Yes. Is it bland looking? He was going bald at the time. I mean, sorry, but, you know, he disappears for a while, comes back as...
Kerwin White?
No, he was Kerwin White when Eddie died. That's actually what I was about to say. That's why I stopped. That's right, he was Kerwin White, then he dropped it because of that.
Yeah, you're right. Forgot about that.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you became Kerwin White because you were uninteresting as Chavo Guerrero. The most interesting thing he ever did was he had a rag horse, whatever.
Yeah, I have no idea what those things are called, actually.
Yeah, oh, well, whatever.
Yeah
Pepe. That's Pepe. It.
Yeah.
And it was never a main event angle. It was never, you know, main event material. It was barely top of the mid card, and even then I'd say it wasn't.
Yeah, and even then it was because WCW was dying.
But also it was he even had that stuff because of the feud he had with his uncle.
Oh.
Who's dead in WWE. I mean, you know, he doesn't want to build anything on his own. He wants to go, I'm a Guerrero, you should push me. So TNA should be pushing Hector Guerrero based off of that. As a wrestler, not as a spokesperson for LAX. It's like, shut the fuck up, dude.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. I guess I never thought about him being lazy in that department, like in the creative department for whatever reason.
What's the one thing in WWE with Chavo Guerrero that stood out to you? Besides Kerwin White, because that was just like one of those ugh sort of things.
Because that was completely stupid.
Yeah.
If that was his brainchild, then...
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, wow.
That I'm not sure of, but he said yes, so. The only thing I remember of Chavo was his tag team with Eddie. The lie, cheat, and steal stuff, the Los Guerreros.
Hell, I didn't even remember that. Like, yeah, and I guess I was thinking of his single, or I guess I was more trying to think of his single stuff, too. And I mean, just nothing popped in mind.
I remember, we're trying to keep this under an hour. We don't have an hour to think of one good thing Chavo did as a singles wrestler in WWE.
Yeah.
So, no. No, yeah. It's infuriating when, you know, if you want to say they didn't use you right, okay, I understand that. If you want to say, you know, I don't think they pushed me the way they could have, you know, I'm sure you feel that way. That's your opinion. That's great. But if you come out and say, well, my uncle died, and right afterwards, you know, I told them they should push me, and basically because of that, go screw. Hey, you get what you deserve, so.
Okie dokie, back to Sin Cara then.
Yeah. Anyway, so Sin Cara loses and gets taken out.
I think the funniest thing, honestly, that happened during this match, because I don't think I put it into my definitely live and half-assed blog of the pay-per-view, was you and I were on Instant Messenger hitting each other up a little bit, and you're like, Sheamus looks really good in this match,
so
of course he's going to lose.
And I said, who did I say? Drew McIntyre who? Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I thought that was really funny. So, Yeah, that was the other thing I wanted to point out. Sheamus looked really strong again, just doing big spots, big power moves. The crowd got behind him because of that, because they had a mixed cheers for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they cheered when he took out Sin Cara.
Right. Yes. They were because it was a big move. It was a legit-looking big man move. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, no, you know, he's another one of those examples for as much as I said it was, at the end of that it was a great moment with Punk and like to me, yeah, okay, it was a real moment. Like Chavo is another one of those guys just like, oh, he's looking, Sheamus, he's looking strong again. Why isn't he quite getting that push on SmackDown? Like, they've kind of risen him back up a little bit, but he's still been a bit of a joke. You know, he still lost fairly clean to Christian twice. And I think there is one other big match that he's had on SmackDown. It's just like, I don't get it. This guy has really started to look sharp again after maybe kind of having that post-championship letdown.
Yeah.
I don't know what other way to describe it. Like, I agree with him if they cooled him down for the reasons that he was kind of wearing out or something. But he seems to be hitting his stride again, and...
Yeah, but
I think... he has nowhere to go now, too.
All right, well, see, this is where I was going to say... They seemed like they wanted to have a Wade Barrett-Sheamus feud. But then, because Wade Barrett's done with Ezekiel Jackson, all
right? Right.
At least I hope so. So I would rather see Sheamus and Ezekiel Jackson only because Sheamus seems to have gotten how to do the WWE style, how to do what they need him to do. So have, you know, get that lug in there against Ezekiel who hasn't gotten it yet. And he's just not over and he's not fun to watch. Just to try it.
He would probably work better if he dropped a couple of LBs, not in the he's fat department, but in the
yes.
He is taking a whole lot of vitamins, and it would probably help his mobility if he stopped taking some of them.
Yeah, yes. Ezekiel Jackson is way overloaded with muscle.
Yeah.
He's just way overloaded with muscle. And you're exactly right. And I'll just leave it at that. But, yeah.
Yeah, so, really okay, I guess that would be interesting. I mean, Jackson is a baby face, and it would give Sheamus something to do.
Yeah, and maybe he can elevate. And I do think Sheamus is in the position to elevate him. I mean, he's not obviously, you know, Randy Orton level. I mean, Randy Orton, the ability to make people level up. But
yeah,
he could at least get him going.
Yeah, well, and he's better... you know, a better up ticket than Barrett.
Yeah. Barrett right now is in that sedentary, just stationary role right now. And that's okay. I'm still going by the guy's going to main event at WrestleMania one of these days. He just has all the tools already.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't want to burn him out already, which they kind of did with Sheamus. So if you pull Wade Barrett back, that's fine. Although I picked him to win this, so I guess I'm kind of going back on what I said, but whatever. I'm trying to think of other spots. Justin Gabriel's 450 off the ladder was pretty sweet, only because of how little room he had to do that.
Yeah, that goes to one of those stick handling in a phone booth kind of cliches.
Pretty cool. That was a pretty cool move. Unnecessary, really, but it was cool.
And especially since he's on a more unbalanced object than normal. Like the top ropes are not exactly stable things to start with. You add a ladder in there, and things get tricky.
Yeah. The one spot that I wish would have happened but didn't, I believe it was Barrett and Sheamus. And they caught Heath Slater with the ladder. It looked like the plan was Slater was supposed to, you know, push himself off the top rope, and they were going to fling him over the rope, over the ladder into the other ladder.
Yeah,
that would have been spectacular.
Yeah, well, it kind of ended up turning out good. Like, I don't know if that's what they meant to do, because they ended up swinging him into the other guy that was down at ringside.
Yeah,
there.
Kane. Well, Kane. If you on the replay, the left leg of the ladder let out. So that was to me, that looked like that was plan B.
Okay.
Because as they were flipping him, it let out, and he started going sideways. So they were like, oh, shit, and just dumped him onto Kane, who,
gotcha.
being Kane, is at the right place at the right time for the save. I mean, he may not be interesting to people, but the guy's a ridiculous pro. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, there's a reason he's been there for as long as he has.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, too.
Yeah,
so.
And you know, the one thing that's upsetting to me is that I didn't start taping the pay-per-view until probably like the Mark Henry Big Show match for whatever reason. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
But I just set it to tape from 8 to 11. Thinking, whatever, I've been watching the whole time. Not a big deal. I've done this before. Well, the beginning... yeah, of course it's going to end badly when you say that.
Yeah, of course.
Now, I'm not sure if I have it, but I don't have, like, the majority of this match at the beginning. For some reason, the match started started taping, like, with maybe 5 minutes left in this match.
Mm. Okay, well...
So I might have it at the very beginning of, or at the very end of my taping.
Yeah.
But, I might have lost it.
Which
sucks.
You got the important part. And that's the absolutely shocking Daniel Bryan victory.
Yeah. you know, and I guess this is something to me that, I'm trying not to cross over too much into Raw, but they didn't have a lot of star-making moments to me. Like, normally, I think we talked about this in our preview about them bumping someone up with this.
Yeah.
Well, Del Rio, to me, that wasn't a bump up. Like, you know, they've already put him in super, he's going to win a championship mode since before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But Daniel Bryan, they really committed to something with that one.
Yeah, and hold that thought with Del Rio. Just, I don't know, write it down or whatever. We gotta revisit that when we get to the Raw match.
Okay.
Because there's a theory I've got with that, and I'm sure I'll be wrong, but yeah, you were saying Daniel Bryan, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. Well, they need people on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Bryan has added weight. The guy
That's
is,
why he looks different?
Yeah, and not a whole lot, but he was introduced in the 280, or the 180, yeah, the 280s. The 180s.
Wow, really?
No, he was introduced in the 180s, or like 182 or 185 or something like that when he first came in. They're announcing him now at 192 or something like that. Okay. So, yeah, he hasn't packed on a lot of weight, but he's packed on a little bit of weight. So he looks a bit stronger, and, like, he already threw himself into his moves anyway. So to kind of add a little extra weight to that, I think really helps. And, like, I've admitted before, I didn't see a lot of his Ring of Honor work, so I wasn't like, oh, he's the greatest wrestler on the planet or something even before coming. That guy is just really good in the ring.
Yeah. And, well, the one thing he's not good at, though, is unhooking the briefcase. that was painful to watch, and that's why I kept expecting someone to come in when he was doing that. So as I'm yelling in my living room, no fucking way, over and over again, I just kept expecting someone to come in. And as he finally unhooks it, it falls and they get it, just so Michael Cole could have goofed on him the whole time.
Yeah.
But yeah, they committed to him, and I mean, going down to the Randy Orton Christian match, I was very surprised they weren't going to commit immediately to it. and have him come out and beat Christian immediately right there.
Yeah. That was one where, I'll wait to see what he has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Or if anybody even, I mean, they can avoid the question altogether, and most people will forget in 5 seconds flat.
Yeah, yeah.
But they can ask him the question on SmackDown this week. We'll see.
And I'm sure it's going to be the honorable. I want to do it honorably and this and this. And Michael Cole, call him a bigger nerd. It's just, you know, it's going to be one of those perpetuating circles. Just, ugh.
Yeah. That is the only thing that I guess they did do that for Ziggler. They just kept on pounding that he was a wrestler from Kent State and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, wow, it's just really getting old. The whole vegan thing and them acting ignorant that there are, and I've mentioned it, Prince Fielder went vegan for a while at least. And a lot of, like, the UFC guys are vegan half the mm-hmm. time. It's like, guys, there's information out there telling you that athletes are vegans. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I guess you can play meathead, but shouldn't Booker T or Josh Matthews as the babyface go, hey, you know what? There are athletes that don't depend on meat. Like, you may not like it, but a lot of people are doing it now.
Yeah. Yeah, you may not like it because you don't understand it. I mean, me personally, I'm not vegan. I just couldn't imagine doing it, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think...
But it does give him something, I guess. Like, if you have Cole harping on you all the time, mm-hmm. it's still better than the nothingness that's greeted by a lot of guys.
Right. Yeah. One thing I thought was pretty cool, and this is what at the end I really turned into a fan. I was like, God, I didn't even put it on the Stunt Granny Twitter. It was nice to be reminded what it feels like to be a fan again. Because, and it's not like I'm a huge Daniel Bryan fan, but it was just the fact that someone different won, and it was a surprise. And it was like, they're doing this right. So if I was like, Jesus, they're going to fuck this up and have Punk lose this, or like kind of just like giving you all the goodwill the whole time. But when he grabbed the belt, or the briefcase, you could see some emotion.
Yeah.
And he usually is pretty close to the vest with that stuff, so that was actually pretty special.
Yeah, and I mean, he's done the celebrations well, I think, when he, whatever belt he won, I can never remember them anymore.
It was
the
U.S.
belt. I don't even honestly try.
But
like he really celebrated when he got the U.S. title. He celebrated when he won. I was just gonna call it Tough Enough.
NXT.
NXT.
Yeah, he didn't win NXT.
Oh no! Shit, that's right. What the hell?
He
else,
fired.
What the hell else did he win? No, he walked out or whatever the fuck it was.
Oh,
anyway,
SummerSlam. He was part of the SummerSlam thing.
Yeah. No, I thought his celebrations have been good. And you know, the one thing I didn't mention, like, he's not the Rock or anything, but he's been doing a serviceable job when they've given him the mic.
Yeah, but now's the time to give him more. And you had him win Money in the Bank. You have to give him some sort of push, or it won't make any sense.
Right, and he's got to be more than just the vegan too, I guess, which is
right.
Another reason why I brought that up. It's
yeah.
Just like, okay, he's more than just that. He's more than just not having a TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what? Oh, shit. Don't they just say he does? Oh, no, they say he doesn't have a TV.
Right.
If they said he didn't have cable, I'm like, well, I know people that don't have cable and they still watch every damn TV program anyway.
Yeah. And I think the one thing is, what they're trying to show you is that the ROH guys are just damn weirdos. So. No. All right. Well, let's move on to Mark Henry Big Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And.
Well, I don't think there's much to say to it, but we both agreed that it was a good match.
Yeah. It's not your 5-star or 4-star classic. Good match regardless. So, yeah.
Mark Henry is actually going to get some sort of a sustained push. Well, at least for the time being, I think, until if the Big Show's out for the 2 months that they're claiming he's going to be out, I'd imagine that Mark Henry will stay in the spotlight at least till then. If he stays on SmackDown, which I think he's technically part of, they need him. So good. You know, you need someone else running around there to take up screen time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if there's much else to say. Like, you can't really dissect that match.
No, but it was just a good big man match.
Yeah.
And Big Show's lost weight. Mark Henry's lost weight. If they continue, especially with Big Show, if he can continue to lose weight, he can, if he wants to, extend his career a little bit longer. And like I said, this is if he wants to. I mean, I'm not almost 7 foot or whatever he is, and so I can't imagine what his knees feel like. But
right.
Yeah. So then after that was the Raw Money in the Bank. I can't say anything was really a surprise in this, except for I did not care for the beginning with everyone holding the ladder, except for the step stools. I thought that was pretty funny.
Everyone holding the ladder.
Yeah, remember when the match started, everyone had their own ladder?
Yeah.
And the build-up to where the reason they had it was they were just going to basically just beat on Alberto and then throw them all on top of him. Okay, I was like, all right, that's funny. But other than that, I didn't care for it.
That was kind of funny because I saw that Powell didn't like it as much. And now you said that, that's why I was, I guess, a bit bummed that I didn't, that I may not have the SmackDown match version of it, because I can't compare them now, and I didn't get the chance to rewatch any of the pay-per-view. To me, I guess when I was watching it, I liked the Raw one more.
Yeah. Oh no! No! Let me back up. I didn't care for the beginning of the match. I liked the match though.
Oh, okay.
Okay, No. There were no bad matches on this card. On the pay-per-view. So
you said though that you liked the SmackDown Money in the Bank match better though.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
I don't know why, but I seem to be one of the few people that liked the Raw one better.
I think one of the reasons that the Raw one could come off that way is the crowd was into it more because they had the personalities that the SmackDown match didn't. I mean, look at SmackDown's match. It had Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel. Two blank slates, to be honest.
Yeah.
No one cares about them. And Sin Cara they cheered for, but no one really cares about Sin Cara. So,
no, like, they don't.
Fuck ever.
And, I guess the ending was only surprising in and of the fact that, and you've pointed this out a couple of times. If Ray's worried about his mask coming off, why doesn't he not wear like some straps on the back of it?
Yeah, go back to your full mask, dumbass. I mean, and then you see him Monday. He's got another one on the same way, and it's like, why isn't Michael Cole saying something? He's the heel announcer. Say something about it.
Yeah, well, he's still too much of a twit sometimes to figure half of anything out. And he even defended the move in Law. Well, and Lawler can't defend anything either. You know, make sense out of why it would be okay. Like, Cole's like, yeah, you should be able to do that. It's like, yeah, he's wearing it. If he's that, honestly, like, if you're that ashamed of your, you shouldn't be that ashamed of your face. Like, he's an ugly motherfucker. But there's no reason that you should hide your face. And if you're going for a championship and it means more than anything to you, or technically it does in WWE land,
yeah,
then you shouldn't worry about that. You should just whoop the other dude's ass instead of hiding your face.
Well, but I think part of that is they don't play up how they'll mention it in passing. Well, it's a tradition of the Mexican heritage, blah, 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 that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But they don't really get into the how and whys of it. It's just like, well, this is a tradition, so deal with it.
Yeah. No, they only bring that stuff up when they decide that he needs to be in a mask versus something match.
Yeah. The end, I thought it's too bad that the Rey's ladder hit Alberto's. because it got dangerous for both of them, but then also it kind of screwed up the momentum of the match. The slowest rounding of the bases was just done by Victor Martinez. I totally lost where I was, but anyways.
I don't know. Something about Del Rio. I am taking it.
It's just Del Rio winning was such a foregone conclusion to me.
Yeah. So, no, that was really the only bad part of that one. And, I'm trying to think of what else. I'm trying to look here at what. Because I didn't really have anything.
The injury with the Miz.
And Bourne did the nice airborne on the outside.
Yeah.
But it was pretty safe. I was surprised. That was the other thing I put. I was surprised that Kofi did the big boom drop. I can't believe that he hasn't done that in another ladder match or another one of those TLC matches.
Yeah.
Because that move is kind of tailor-made for, you know, making it look bad because he's coming off a high place. But, again, it's a pretty safe in execution. I guess there just wasn't much to that one.
No. And here's the thing that I wanted to remember Del Rio about was as soon as Daniel Bryan won, everyone on Twitter, at least, you know, who we follow, a lot of people are going, well, let the conspiracy theory start. Daniel Bryan's going to be the first one to lose. This and this and this. And I don't think this is actually going to happen, but it almost makes sense from a storyline aspect that what if it's – if they ever decide to do this, what if it's Del Rio that loses? He had a shot at WrestleMania. He's had plenty of shots to win the title. He hasn't done it at all. So – wouldn't it be the shocker of all shocks that it's Del Rio's turn and his destiny's finally going to get fulfilled, blah, 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 all that stuff, and then he tanks it?
Yeah, and you know what? Because didn't he say, though, that on Raw that the Money in the Bank was just like icing on the cake? It wasn't even part of his destiny? Or did he say that at the pay-per-view?
Might have been the pay-per-view.
Yeah, because I didn't...
No, he said it was icing because he's already won the triple threat match. He's already the number one contender. And basically just saying, I don't need this. But
okay.
And that's why I thought it would have been another thing if they were going to do this. It would have been really cool to have him in the finals for the belt or for the WWE title. Why get rid of him? Or why have him in the tournament if you're just going to job him out?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't quite understand that one. Aside from, you know, of course, getting your properly aligned matches for faces and heels so that there aren't too many of the same in matches.
Yeah, I was watching with Elise, and I was like, Ray wins, he's beating Dolph, this. And whenever they'd win, I'd just look at her and go, told you. She's like, how do they do that? I'm like, I don't know. Because they had Swagger and R-Truth in the first round, and... Jack Swagger, I've tried to defend him, saying, you know, he's still young, this and this. Eric and Dusty are absolutely right. He's got to go. He was standing around during that Raw match, the Raw ladder match, or Money in the Bank match, excuse me. He's standing around, like, looking around, like, is it my spot yet? Is it my spot yet? Guys are climbing the ladder, and you know he's not supposed to attack him yet, but he's just staring at him, waiting for his turn. And I'm like, just do something else. And then all of a sudden you see him like pretending to wipe sweat out of his eyes. I'm like, is this 1940? What are you doing?
Yeah, and you know what? He was, two times in the Raw Money in the Bank I put, Swagger gets to look like an ass waiting for Riley to vault over the ropes.
Yes.
And then there was... he tried to pull Kofi over on the ladder. Like, I think he was supposed to dump Kofi onto the outside, but he did such a piss-poor job of pulling the ladder, Kofi's like, oh, fuck, and he ends up dropping onto Swagger.
Yes. Oh, yeah, then there was the one where Swagger did the ladder let out or something like that. Was that what you're talking about?
I don't know. This is
there's one. It was a scary looking bump for Swagger. I mean, he just and it's gonna sound dumb, but he just fell. It was like he didn't even get an opportunity to break himself or brace himself. It was just boom, like the proverbial stack of potatoes or sack of potatoes, just slam on the ground. You know, and somebody on Twitter, I think it was John S himself, can't remember his full name. He even said, "Someone check on Swagger," because that was scary. But no, it's just time. He had a chance. He's had plenty of chances. It's not working. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't even know if I've defended him recently, but to me, I guess I still don't quite understand what happened. You know,
he never got better. That's what happened.
No, he's gotten worse.
Yeah. Yes.
No, I mean, that's the problem to me. Like I said, like, I didn't like him at first, and then I'm like, oh, okay, I see what's in him. And then now it's like, dude, like, how did you ever get in?
That's actually a better question. I was like, okay, you know, you're there, but how?
That is my arc. It's just like, dude, like, how did I ever think that you were gonna be good? Like, I am just completely confused at this juncture.
And he comes out to what Get Dusty calls the ghetto rage, and he does that goofy thumb thing, and he does the push up, and
the victory lap is just like, oh.
The victory lap, I don't mind because that's just a dick thing to do, but I don't know, man. I think he's got to be in his mid-20s, so maybe there's still time, but somewhere else. Let him go to Japan.
I said after his match on Monday, I'm like, he just needs to ask for his release.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll help him or not. Like, you know, that's one of those things. It's just like, are they telling him the right things? Like, sometimes, I guess that's the other thing that you always just end up getting into speculation on. It's just like, are they that lazy, you know, would the change in environment help out? Is he still getting his ass kissed too much in the back? Like, oh, dude, you're a great natural athlete. Don't worry about it. Shake it off. Like, and they, you know, you just wonder where it's coming from, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
he
keeps on getting this TV time.
Yeah, or he's not getting any of that. And that's the problem. There's no one in back going, why are you standing around waiting for things to happen? You are part of the action. I mean, you're acting like an extra instead of the main player. I mean, we just saw Harry Potter. It'd be like the battle scenes. Everyone just waiting around looking like, okay, is it my turn to start doing stuff? No, you just automatically start doing it. And so, yeah, so that's disappointing to see someone that young just not improving. But, yeah, he's got to go. Put him in Ring of Honor. Hey, what the hell? See what Cornette can do with him. You know?
Yeah.
All right. So then we have SmackDown's match. It was good. What more can you say about Randy Orton and Christian matches? They're good.
Yeah, they're really
good.
There
you go.
And it was, well, and it was a fun creative ending. Like, that was one of those things. It's just like, they'd kind of been talking about the nerves, and I'm like, nah, there's no way. He's just going to beat Christian. It's not going to be a big deal. And they just have him spit square in his face. I'm like, oh, that is outstanding.
Yeah, I like how you say he only spit in his face. That was gross. I mean, that was a hell of a loogie.
Yeah, he did, he did put some good effort into that loogie that went on Orton's face.
But I mean, I'm even looking, but even that match, even before that, good near falls, good action, good story. I mean,
yeah, no, I guess I just liked that they played up to the stipulations.
Yeah.
And they give Christian, somehow they actually extend this feud. Possibly, if Teddy Long decides to let that happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, who else is there kind of going back to SmackDown? We were talking about Henry and Sheamus. The only other next baby face is Daniel Bryan, who should have cashed it in right away.
Yeah. Okay, now this is where the Chicago crowd kind of lost some points. They were cheering when Christian won. Well, Orton beats the hell out of him, and they start cheering for Orton. Then they start chanting one more time. He goes down, turns into George the Animal Steel suddenly, and they're going bonkers for him. It was like, make up your mind. Who are you cheering for? But that was one of the funnier meltdowns I've seen in a while. Orton's face was fantastic.
Yeah, he does anger well. Everything else in the pantheon of facial expressions, he's terrible at. But especially, I loved Christian on SmackDown this past week, pointing out his doofus face in the movie.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know if maybe it's the beard, but there was just, I mean, him sticking the tongue out and him like talking to himself and all that stuff. I liked he was dropping the F-bomb, which they tried to delete at one point, but it just, edit out, but it just didn't work. It was that sort of stuff that was just cracking me up. I was like, it makes you believe, like, this guy's lost his damn marbles. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, no, the hobo beard does really help out.
And I don't know if that's supposed to make him a baby face or not.
Yeah.
I mean, if they wanted to be baby face, tell him to grow his hair out. The shaved head, like, sinister look would go away if he grows his hair out. I mean, yeah. I know you always get on me about this stuff, but...
Well, no, he doesn't need to grow it out very long. No, I think you just bring it up at odd times.
Right.
Sometimes. In this situation, I don't think it's very short.
In this situation, I'm right. Yeah, well, shut up. But no, but you look back at the old Randy Orton pics when he had the longer hair, you know, not long, but longer hair.
Yeah.
That's when he would look more babyish. But, I mean, the tattoos aren't going to help him either, so.
No, those are never going to do him any favors.
No. So that was just a poor judgment, I guess. But all right, and then we have the match of the night. Right now, the match of the year. And basically, it was everything you expected it to be.
Honestly, it was everything and more.
Yeah.
It's the best match of the year without even an inkling of doubt in my brain.
Yeah, and I think this is the one, you know, a lot of people say, well, if I'm going to show someone, like, this is one of those matches where if you tell people you watch wrestling, this is one of those matches you can show them and go, this is why. I think Eric was the one that came up with something like that, and it's the correct thing. I mean, the crowd hated Cena. You know, you had your little kids and stuff in there.
Yeah, that honestly, that was the only thing to me that was bad about that match was when Cole and Lawler were trying to sell that nobody in the arena was cheering for Cena when you could, let's go Cena. Cena
yeah.
sucks chance. It's just like, God, like, honestly, like, just listen to your crowd.
Yeah, exactly. That's really all it takes, yeah.
I mean, the announcers are right there. They don't have any excuse for going, oh, you know what, we're back in the production booth. We can't really hear it. You're in the middle of that crowd.
Yeah.
Your excuses are zero for hearing the crowd.
Yep.
I don't care if you have a set of headsets on. I can hear my dumbass coworker's music with a pair of headphones on and my own music jacked up. There's no way they have it that loud.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That was one of those I was like, really? Okay. I mean, they're trying to spin it to make it, you know, all the odds against Cena.
Yeah, like always.
Yeah. But no, and I think one thing, I'm not reading this enough, and this is, you know, going to be a surprise, but Cena did not get any credit for how good that match is, and he should. he did not half-ass anything. He had a couple sloppy spots, but Punk did too. So you can't call one without the other.
Right. Yeah.
But Cena, I think I was telling you about it. I didn't like at first. I didn't like the ending, and I didn't get a chance. I didn't bother bringing this up today, but
okay.
I watched it again last night, and at first, when he started doing the John Cena bit, where he was like, you know, he couldn't pin him, so he was like, ugh. Then they start doing his the old John Cena cocky thing, and I was like, oh, here we go. He's gonna ruin it. But then all of a sudden it played in, like his cockiness played into it because he couldn't beat him. So when he got in the referee's face, it was like, okay, little regular John Cena's getting his comeuppance finally.
Yeah. Well, I had remembered you too mentioning that you didn't like, because I guess I don't have anything on that point, honestly.
Yeah. The end with McMahon coming out?
No, with the GTS immediately happening after McMahon came out.
Yeah. But it was also the first time he actually hit that move. Like, he tried it once, didn't work. The other time it was in the rib cage.
Right.
So you know, and I thought about this, actually. That was the other thing I was going to bring up, was that's a vicious move, so if you're not expecting it and you get hit with that, it can produce a quick, you would think it could produce a quick count like that. So I didn't have a problem with that, actually. This is one of those just going back to review it sort of things.
Yeah. No, I wish I had the chance.
Yeah, real good. I don't know if I would have changed much. I didn't care for McMahon coming out, but I understood why. But as soon as he came out, I was like, God damn it. Don't ruin this. And it didn't really play too much into it, so it's okay.
No, it played a very minor part. And, you know, it worked on, at least in a way, on the next day.
Yeah. Yes, and it did. And I don't know. We went a long time on Money in the Bank, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that was not part of the plan. All right. Well, since it's Stunt Granny Audio 150, I guess it will be special. Let's just break it into two parts. We'll talk about Raw for like 30 minutes on part two or something. Want to do that? What was that?
Yeah, go do that.
Oh, okay. Apparently, Kevin's internet connection is only on an hour time limit, so all right. So here's your special deal. Since it's 150, we're going to break this into two parts. The second part should be shorter, and if you believe that, well, then you haven't listened to any other audio we've ever done. So stick around. We'll be back for part two.